Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a friend and fellow realtor, Jalen Plaisance. Jalen has been diving deep into the NAR changes in the local MLS and has become a team lead and trusted resource on the rollout. Welcome to the podcast, Jalen.
Thank you for having me, Jamie.
All right. Now, this episode will be a little bit different in format from the other episodes, and we'll try to get Jalen back on to do her backstory and get her history so you guys can get to know her a little bit more. But we wanted to quickly kind of jump on and talk about the changes in our local MLS with the NAR lawsuits. So tell us a little bit about what you know, and let's get into it.
Well, the reason that I kind of am in this position now is because I felt like everyone else, like I felt like I didn't know anything, much less enough, considering it strongly affects pretty much every aspect of our industry as we know it. So whenever I was trying to prepare my personal business for the changes, the deeper I dug, the more I found, and it sort of panicked me. So I kind of just took it line item by line item, form by form, lawsuit settlement, line item by line item, and kind of created something where us as a group could look at and truly understand why we're in this situation with the lawsuit. Why did we settle with the lawsuit? And what does that look like for us moving forward? And how, as agents, can we move forward together, especially, you know, locally, but it really kind of is, you know, across the country.
Right, right. And our MLS, you know, to start, is one of the first to roll it out. We actually rolled it out on Monday, July 15th.
Yes.
So
32 days before technically
it's required,
the NAR settlement is going to go into effect. And, you know, at first, whenever they, well, the backstory is we are very unique in our local MLS because by total coincidence, I'll call it or whatnot, we had decided as an MLS to move into a different MLS. And it just so happens that those things coincide within the same 30-day period, the NAR settlement going into effect and rolling into a brand new MLS, which is interesting, tricky. But as an agent within the MLS, I'm kind of like, why are we doing this at the same time? And once I actually started asking the right questions to the right people, it was very interesting because I kind of love that we're 30 days early, because when this goes into effect, the settlement terms of this lawsuit on August 17th, the implications are going to happen immediately. And I'll personally say that most agents aren't typically on time for things or paying close enough attention when it comes to certain things. So we are having almost like a 30-day grace period to sort of get the kinks out, make sure we're getting the proper documentation signed. So when we do have a misstep or forget something, we're not going to be fined
right
immediately.
Right.
So yeah. I think they kind of knew what they were doing or knew who they were working with when they made that decision to give us a 30-day grace period to get it figured out.
Yeah, for sure. And those fines are going to be pretty hefty. I know that we started talking about that, at least at the office meeting. And I think everybody's eyes were wide open when you started mentioning the actual numbers. And you also stumbled upon something, too. And this is like hot off the presses, too. Last night.
Well, I don't know if it's like, change. I think we just might not know. I don't know. But so as I was preparing for, you know, to speak here with Jamie and to talk to our, you know, other agents and whatnot, it came to me that so our fee or fines, I'll call them, for not having the proper, you know, agreement signed with a buyer before showing a property, like he was saying, there's steep fines, of course. And I thought that was it. You know, these steep fines, you know, first offense is this, second offense is this, and third offense is this. And they just get obviously steeper. But it was brought to my attention that our state of Louisiana is actually going to have passed a House bill that's going to go into effect August 19th, 2 days after the NAR settlement. So essentially, we will not only get fined by our MLS, the MLS will have to turn us in to our, you know, Louisiana board, because we basically now will have broken a state law. And so then we'll get fined in that capacity.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't know exactly what that fine looks like, how steep it will be, but it is two part. It's not like, oh, only to pay one and they split now. It's going to be two different fines.
Yeah, which that's going to be a total another crazy part to this scenario.
Absolutely.
So I'm with you. I think most realtors are not prepared for this thing. I think that especially those who don't have the privilege of having someone like you or a great broker who is willing to share and jump all in and be able to share this information with people. Like, I think that that's huge that you kind of took the team lead on this stuff because you were staying up late at night thinking about this.
I haven't slept in 3 weeks, but it's fine. But I did learn so much. Like, I was telling someone else in the office, I just thought I was trying to figure out what to do for us to not get in trouble. And what really ended up happening was I ended up learning and having this great understanding of our local association. How does that work? What are they doing behind the scenes? Which is like a lot, you know, a lot. And they're truly doing all of this to protect us. It's hard to see that when they're like, don't do this, don't do this. And they're kind of like the bad guys, but truly it's all for our benefit, you know?
Right. Yeah, I know. And they get a bad rap because, I mean, they're the ones that maybe handing out the fines and stuff like that and telling us what we can and can't do. But they are the ones that are trying to keep us out of hot water. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the ones that are trying to prevent us from getting these fines. You know, so shout out to the girls at the local level.
Especially Amber. She's our MLS gal and she's in it.
Yeah. She sent me an email the other day and I just responded back and be like, yeah, you know, I'll get it corrected. Amber, I'm like, sorry, you know, best of luck in the transition. I'd be glad to comply on anything, of course, that you see.
She's been a champion there.
Yeah. So that's good. But yeah, talk to us about like, okay, so let's start with, I guess, the buyer's agency agreement. You know, what do we need to know? Or if the realtor is kind of behind on this thing, like what do they need to know as far as the buyer's agency agreement?
Okay, so this agreement in theory is not a new concept, okay? And a lot of other markets, really other than ours, have been utilizing this for years. What's unique about, I'll speak about Lafayette, our culture and our selling culture, no matter what you're selling, is very relationship-based. We don't have to do these traditional sales methods, you know, like in New York or other big, you know, cities and whatnot, because it's very, I know you, oh, I know somebody that knows you type thing. So we are very much in the habit of going into a property to anybody, you know, and handshake type, not even a handshake, just like, oh yeah, whatever. But this document now that's being implemented is basically saying that before we walk into a property, we have to, by now Louisiana law, much less, you know, the NAR settlement, have a document signed by that buyer saying what they are willing to compensate us in the event that maybe the seller won't negotiate or the seller won't agree to pay, you know, the buyer's broker, which in theory goes down to the agent. That's something that we're not used to even having a conversation about. So I think that for us, that's going to be the biggest hurdle because we're so not accustomed to even selling in that capacity.
Yeah.
So it's not changing the document. It's changing truly the way that you approach relationships with people. I think that us being very straightforward with people before we show up to show a house and helping them understand this and why we have to do this is going to be imperative.
Yeah. Yeah. And also too, I think another thing is, you know, some agents and especially in our crew are coming and recording videos, which is just some, kind of giving them some really good information and saying, hey, here's why you need to sign this document. And it's for all agents are going to be required to sign that document. So I think it's something that, you know, we got to get into the habit of how do we have that conversation? What words should we be using? How can we best educate that buyer to where they're comfortable with it? And they understand that we're still there for them, but we have to get this signed before they can even step across that threshold. So that's going to be the challenges, the implementation of that. And, you know, things like Zillow, I know there are some changes with Zillow and they have some things. I'm curious if these touring agreements are even going to comply with some of the local regulations. You know, I heard Zillow put out like a touring agreement. You know, I know a lot of realtors in Acadiana use Zillow and they came out with a touring agreement. I guess that's something that's they're going to have these buyers sign on our behalf to allow us to see. In your opinion, do you think that would qualify as a buyer's agency contract?
Well, this is the thing with the buyer agency contract that most people, including myself, did not understand this. Like, so this is similar to our listing agreement. I mean, we're required to have this obviously clearly we're going to get these large penalties if we don't have this, you know, buyer agreement signed before we walk into a property. But which agreement we use is completely our decision, as long as that agreement covers the terms of this settlement, essentially. Right. Now, it is twofold. It is going to be the settlement, and along now with what our, you know, state law is. But as long as we have those two things covered in whichever agreement we choose, then we should be okay. So based on that, I mean, I don't know what the Zillow agreement looks like, because I'm entirely too terrified to try anything but what right. they say. You're good here, Jalen. I'm going to use this one. So that's really going to come down to somebody smarter than me reading this and interpreting it. And it's going to be making a decision. But also it's going to go down to what your broker is going to require, because that's a big deal. People think, oh, well, I can just go do this and this and this, and that's great. And to some degree, yes. But as long as your broker is going to allow you to do that.
Right. You know, right. Yeah, for sure. And you know, our broker has stepped in and provided different forms, and we've been kind of going through different forms and kind of making sure that we're prepared. We're taking a look at the ones that from the state of Louisiana, from Louisiana Realtors. We're also going through the local level and ones that were provided. And it's crazy, because there's a lot of language and it changes. And that's the I'm hoping that we eventually get to a standard document that's somewhat standard across the board that most realtors are using, because it's when we get into all these different documents that, hey, I signed that one because this brokerage is doing it this way, or I signed this one because that brokerage is doing it that way. It's just like, you know, it puts some realtors at a competitive disadvantage just for doing what their broker's asking them to do.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be the crazy part of this rollout, is it's going to be like the Wild West.
Yes. But I think it will be, you know, and it's hard to hear this when you're on our end of it, because there's so much unknown. And change is always difficult, especially when we're not in the most, you know, lucrative market. But I do think that this will shake out. Like, I feel better now. I mean, I'm not obsessed with everything we're doing, obviously, but like, I do feel more confident in what we're doing.
Right.
You know, and I do think that there is going to be some benefits both for the sellers and the buyers. But I think that this is going to take a whole lot of time for the general public who's bought and sold properties. Like, wait, now I have to pay you? I possibly have to pay. You know what I mean? I think that that's going to take some time to shake out. Just that like notion that like they felt like in it looked like they didn't have to pay, even though that really wasn't the case, you know, buyers I'm speaking of. But I think that once it all shakes out, once all these forms are finally final, every time right. we think we got the final version, I'm like, psych, guys,
yeah.
here's
Surprise.
A new one. So I think until we get there, it's going to be trial and error. But I think the most important thing is just keeping a positive attitude and trying to get as many people to understand what's going on, because we can learn all day long. But if every deal we do in the next 6 months is with somebody who genuinely has no idea what's happening, it's going to be tough, you know, and yeah. it's going to be a struggle for, I think, everybody.
Yeah. And that's the part that scares me is just, we've got an amazing, well-educated crew over here. So if you're going to be dealing with one of us at our brokerage, you're going to be dealing with somebody that's, for the most part, unless they didn't attend the meeting, mm-hmm. that knows what they're doing. They're well informed. They have a game plan on how they want to present this thing. And they're willing, at least in most cases, to still continue to help be friendly to other agents in compensation and all of that. So, you know, that's going to be the weird part, is when we get those, that agent that's, we deal with that agent that's not well informed. They didn't research it. They took the listing at a crazy low percentage, and then they have a seller that's unwilling to compensate. So we're going to be caught in the crossfires with our buyers in that situation. And that's going to just be, I mean, that's unfair, and that's going to happen, but that's ultimately what I'm seeing is going to play out is, you know, you're going to have some that are going to be really great, and you're going to be dealing with great agents like Jalen Plaisance and Jamie Knight, and you're going to be amazing. You're going to be like, yeah, we got you. We're going to take care of you. We'll make it work. But then you'll be dealing with other agents. You'll be like, oh, good luck.
You right. know? Absolutely. And I think that, and I think at the end of the day, the only people that are really going to be hurt there, I mean, obviously, you know, the buyer's agents could, of course, but I think that my main concern is that the sellers and the buyers are represented properly. You know, however you choose to represent your client, I just hope that people take the time to truly understand what they're telling their client, because every ounce of this is a decision that they need to make that is going to affect them financially, some degree or not, or from a marketing standpoint or whatever it may be. I just really hope that they're fully educating the sellers on what the repercussions are and what the positives are, and vice versa with the buyers, you know, and that's where it's going to get kind of sticky and it won't be so fun.
Yeah. And we're in a type of market right now where we're kind of trending more towards a buyer's market. So, you know, those sellers are going to need to compete. Mm-hmm. They're not going to just be able to say, hey, let me just offer no compensation. I don't know. And we'll just have to see. Everybody's going to handle it their own way. But
absolutely,
that's going to be the tricky part of this, too, moving into a buyer's market where they're going to have more inventory. And we're seeing inventory levels climb every day. So that's going to be the tricky part for sellers. And you know, hopefully they make the right moves on that. But that'll be an individual agent thing, and individual brokers thing. So, any other changes like in the local MLS? I know ours, we started to on Monday, we pulled the compensation. So the compensation is no longer in the local MLS. Talk to us a little bit about the local MLS and how that's changing.
So this is something that's also a little bit confusing, but like us personally, we're getting audited, I think on Monday, I think this is the 22nd. So essentially our local MLS is going to go in and audit all of our listings. On Monday, it was automatically removed. It was like the bonus field and the compensation field. So we didn't have to go in and remove this, you know, MLS version, with the compensation, but we did have to, or you should have gone in and removed any verbiage that insinuates, almost looks like, or says compensation or commission in realtor remarks, and especially public remarks, because when this goes into effect, that's also part of it. You cannot in any way advertise or insinuate that there is some type of compensation being paid on the MLS in any way.
Right. And we've heard the thing about the apples or whatever.
Yeah, that's not going to fly.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, like everybody knows what's going on,
yeah,
and what the apple thing is. So
right.
I think our best advice is don't try to do a workaround like it's nowhere in our local MLS. And I think a lot of this too with our local MLS, some of that has to do with us transitioning into this,
yes,
other type of MLS. So we're kind of hitting both things head on. Right. And some of the changes are having to do with the change of the local MLS, not so much the NAR lawsuit.
Correct.
So obviously with the NAR lawsuit, it was the removing the compensation, any talks of compensation, all of that stuff.
Also the links. If, you know, if you can't have like a website or a video linked in your MLS to any capacity, that would bring you to a site that would have any type of compensation on it. So you can't just get on there and say, okay, I'm going to remove the compensation field and I'm going to remove that we're doing this, but then I'm going to put my website. It's going to take you to a branded website that's telling you what the compensation is. You cannot have anything on that. On this is for us. I can't speak for everyone because everyone's roles are different. But as far as the settlement goes, from my understanding, you cannot leave the MLS and be brought somewhere where it's going to tell you the compensation or discuss compensation.
Right.
But what's confusing, I think, for a lot of people locally is, we're also auditing our local MLS, you know, independently before this real audit on Monday, for other things. And those things are like, you know, is the taxes, you know, syncing properly? Is the history syncing properly on your listings? That really has more to do with the fact that our MLS is integrating with our new MLS, and we want those fields to kind of like speak the same language. So it is a two-part, and people are like, why does the taxes matter about the NAR lawsuit? Well, it's two separate things. Ours just happened to have fallen at the right time. And like I said earlier, like it was like, what the heck? But then it's like, I'm kind of like, wait, we only have to do this once, you know?
Right.
It's not like we have to do all of this for the NAR lawsuit and then turn around in January and do this for the rollout of a new, it would be like actually a disaster. So this is kind of like rip the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
You know,
let's get everything,
get your practices
compliance
in place. Yeah.
It's like on Monday we hit new world order. Like we're like literally like it's the brand new world.
It literally did feel like the apocalypse.
It's just
weird.
Like on Monday, everything, just our world got rocked, you know? Now, since we did go in early, is there any advice that you'd like to give maybe to a board that's about to make this rollout?
I think that clear communication with the members on what's expected, the timelines. And if I were a member, you know, that hasn't been rolled out yet, I would make sure that I fully understood and read every line of whatever the new forms they may or may not have to implement, whatever your association is making you do, whatever your broker is making you do. I would just make sure you fully understand what and why you're doing what you're doing. But on the flip side, I would really make sure and probably practice a little bit on the conversations you're going to have with your sellers. And on the flip side, on the conversations you're going to have with your buyers, especially if you're not accustomed to having them, you know, now, basically.
Yeah, for sure. And even, you know, somebody like me is a listing. I do a lot of listings. Is the conversations that you're having with the sellers is complicated too.
Very.
So it's the same. I mean, you know, they need to be prepared for what they should offer, or, you know, and then you've got those sellers that are trying to save money. So right. it's complicated. All right. Well, how do you see this thing playing out locally, like in our local MLS here in Acadiana?
I think that we're going to be grateful that we went in early. But I also feel like we're going to see probably a major decline in memberships and realtors. You know, I think that it's a lot to figure out, a lot to sort through, a lot to understand.
Especially when agents are already struggling. Some
Absolutely.
Agents are already struggling.
I think that especially like newer agents and agents that maybe haven't secured the listings yet, haven't become a full listing agent, you know, those buyers are lucrative to them. And this is going to be really, really difficult to be a buyer's agent for a minute, you know, unless you're super seasoned or you truly understand everything that's going on and you can properly relay that message. But I think beyond that, once we really get our feet wet, figure it out, you know, forms are changing every single day. I think that we're going to have to stay on top of that. But once we have that down and we really put this thing in motion, I think, you know, by the end of the year, I think that this will be starting to become our new norm, you know? I just think we're going to have less people.
Yeah.
You know?
I 100% agree with you too. And yeah, I mean, this is going to be our new standard. And for some, it's already been kind of a practice that they've already implemented in their business. But and that's where I think value is going to rise to the top too. You know, understanding your value, understanding how you communicate your value to a buyer, understanding why they should use you, why you're different. All of those things are going to matter in the presentation. They're not going to care so much about what that document says, all the wording and all that stuff. They're going to need to see that you're confident, that you understand what the new changes are, that you can get them what they need to get out of the situation.
Right.
So like when I'm talking to realtors and how I'm, you know, instructing the people that I'm helping is, hey, be confident, be
Absolutely.
Confident, understand the documents, and understanding is confidence.
Right.
So if you don't
Knowledge
understand
is power.
It, you're not confident in it. So locally, I think we'll have some challenges in the community and just the way that things have operated for the last whatever amount of years since people have been buying and selling houses, it's going to change. And those people that are, you know, here locally, traditional people, they're going to be like, man, why am I having to do this? I'm going to use you no matter what.
Right.
Those are going to be the conversations that we're going to have with those people. But talk about a little bit, just to kind of maybe close out with this, is where do you see this thing playing out, like on the national level?
It's really hard to tell because, you know, we've talked about this for so long and now it's here. It's definitely going to shift our market. I think overall on a national level, it's definitely going to shift the numbers with agents dramatically. I do think that we are still a state that offers dual agency. A lot of states have already eliminated that. I can't imagine a world where dual agency is going to continue for us because I think it's kind of like counterproductive with the way that this settlement is set up. I can't imagine that dual agency will stick around for, you know, Louisiana for too much longer, but I have no obviously way of knowing that. But I think overall, I think that we actually are it's going to be good for our clients. I really do. You know, it's crappy right now. It's not fun, but I do think that this is going to truly make agents have to be professional. I think that they're going to have to show their worth and I think they're going to have to really work hard and do their job, you know, which I feel like anybody that's taken this as their career and full time, that's what they want. That's who they want to work with. You know, sellers and buyers feel the same way. They want to work with somebody that knows what's going on, that is going to protect them. And I truly think that this is a way as fun as it is not, to protect both the buyer and the seller and the integrity of us representing them properly. I really
do. And giving them both what they want. Right. You know, I hear sellers talk about, oh, well, you know, it'd be nice if I had the opportunity to negotiate the buyer's commission. I was like, you've always had that right.
Right.
We've talked about, you know, we talk about that. You always have the right to have offered them whatever you'd wanted to offer them.
And that is a great point. And I've heard that often, but the reality is, and this is where I'm a little bit scared about what, you know, the short term looks like, how many people had that proper conversation, you know?
Right.
Because I'll tell you from a personal perspective, I loved the idea of how it was set up because I felt like, you know, I'm concerned about first-time home buyers and buyers that can't afford, you know, the down payment, much less paying and all the things, which is everyone's real fear. You know, we don't want a buyer to be hurt. And a first-time home buyer is so important. I mean, it literally is the next step for financial freedom. And I'm really worried about them. I hope that something comes out that'll shake this up a bit to be able to protect them. And I know things are already, you know, moving in that direction, but that's my biggest concern. But with that, I do think that if we would have been having those conversations on the front end with sellers, this wouldn't be such a, like a shock factor, right? But I don't think that they truly understood. Now we are forced to sit in front of them and line by line show them. So that's my point in saying that when this is all said and done, we should be confident because we're being forced to do this and to really spell it out for them. And I feel like that's the best practice, you know, to truly let them have these decisions, inform them, you know, and I think that that's going to be my plan of action is to inform them on, you know, what's the positives of offering, what's the positives of disclosing that it's offered, because that's also something that we legally have to put in writing.
Right.
They can offer all day long. They can say they're going to give it, but if they don't give us written, you know, permission to give them or to, for me to verbally tell you, say, right. if you've got a buyer, we're offering or what we're offering, then it's as good as the paper, you know? So I think that all of those things taken into consideration, as long as we can protect the buyers, you know, the ones that are first time home buyers, one that don't have those extra funds, I feel like this is really going to be good.
Yeah. And I would say too, best advice that I give agents is skill up, mm-hmm. like learn the forms, practice, role play, have those conversations with your team leaders, with people around you, role play, you know, try to present this thing in the best way that you can, like really truly understand what's going on.
Absolutely.
And bring more value. I think that's the people who will survive this are the people who bring the most value to the table. That's going to be the people who rise to the top. And I think top producers are going to rise to the top on this thing. And like you said, I think people who are part-time, people who are they don't know their own value. They don't know how to communicate that. They're just unlocking doors. They're just answering the phone whenever the Zillow lead comes in. Like those are the people that are going to struggle the most with this whole thing. So, you know, hopefully they take, you know, kind of listen to what we're saying and really dive in and understand it. And certainly I hope that they reach out to you or their broker, obviously their broker probably first, you know, for help with this thing. But
absolutely.
I know you're the type too, that if they call you and say, Jalen, what do you think about this? Am I crazy for thinking this? You'd be like, yeah, that's cool. That makes sense to me.
No, and that it is, please call, you know, I was speaking to my husband last night about this because it's, you know, literally 2 a.m. every night it's been, and he came in to check on me and he said, what are you, and he wasn't being rude at all. He was just like, he didn't understand, like, what are you getting out of this? And I said, listen, it does not matter how much I understand this or my friends at work understand this. If the person on the other side does not understand this, you know, this is going to be a disaster. And I would just rather us all figure it out and all understand. So please call me, you know, if you want me to come and meet with you, a group of you, whatever, I'll bring the little presentation. It's simplified, yeah. You know, and it's evolving by the day, but we're going to keep up with that too, though. And RAW has been amazing. Our local association, you know, when I've had questions 77 times a day, because I did not want to come out here and feel like I know everything, because I do not. I mean, none of us do. And they've been great to be like, answer questions for me and clarify things so that whenever I am talking to other people that, you know, I'm not saying it wrong, although it is changing quickly.
Right.
And a lot of it is interpretation, but just call me, please email me. And I would love to help them understand it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's awesome of you that you're willing to do that. So, you know, with that being said, I really, really appreciate you for one, helping jump in and lead the team on this thing. Cause like you've really chopped it up in bite-sized pieces for us to digest. So that's been awesome. And I love the way you're thinking about it, because you're putting your clients and you know, those buyers first and your sellers first in the thought process. And that's, you know, just why, you know, you're so well respected in our community. So I appreciate you doing that for us.
And the same for you, because on, you know, Monday, whenever we kind of did our little, you were my guinea pig, you and our group of, you know, friends here at the office. And right after, he's like, wait, you know, and you moved your schedule around to get this out there, you know, with the idea to help other people also, you know, and did a different format. And so we appreciate you for that, because the more people that locally here, especially for us, is the better, you know?
Yeah. So we'll actually get this out pretty quickly and share it with everyone. So, you know, I appreciate everybody. And same thing for me. If you guys have any questions for me, or if I can be a help to you, or if this makes sense, or role play with you even, I mean, I don't mind. So let's do it. And that's why I said, like, as a community of realtors, like, you know, whenever there's a panic, like, let's not run in different directions. Let's come together and, like, figure it out.
Because,
like, we don't need, we're not enemies. You know, we're not, you know, competitors. We're a group of agents who want the same goal. We all want buyers and sellers to win. We all want to be, you know, the best for our clients. So we're not enemies. So let's come together as a group and we'll figure this out. Mm-hmm. We are going to figure this out.
Absolutely.
For sure. So we'll close with that. I appreciate you, Jalen. And any other last words?
No, everyone be nice to Amber at Raw. Thank you, Jamie.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you guys soon.